Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Underhood Show presented by Mel Hamilton Ford. My name's Phil Nightingale. Morning, Josh.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful, sunny and 70 Saturday. I like those S's in there.
Well, sunny, I think going to be more like 80-something. And yes, it is Saturday, so.
Okay. Well, this is the call-in show, and we don't have that up on the screen, Josh. Where's that ad over here on the side? Not there, is it? Captions. Not Ooh. There.
Yeah, it was. Go back. Who's driving this boat?
Not me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there it is.
I think we found the problem.
Oh, that was rough.
No, I think you're driving. You think I'm driving.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got a problem going on then, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay. There's the phone number. 316-462-3673. It's a call-in show. You get a great price package, about over $130. Only show I know you get paid to call in. Could be anything ailing in your car and something you don't understand about your car. Need some more information about your car or whatever. Need something diagnosed maybe or whatever. Got a noise. We got to get a lot of noises all the time, don't we, Josh? But anyway, 316-462-3673. Number there on the screen. Call in to the front desk here at the dealership. Tell the girls you want to get patched into the podcast. And as always, Josh, what do they get for calling in?
So we'll mail it out to you, but it's going to consist of the works, which is an oil change and tire rotation. We use Motorcraft oil and filter products here at Mel Hamilton Ford. So while we're performing that works package, we're going to complete a multi-point inspection on your vehicle, checking over the brakes, tires, steering, suspension, all the safety-related components on that vehicle, making sure that it's geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving. You'll also receive yourself $10 to Mel's Diner, so you can get yourself something to eat and drink while you're here with us at the Big Corner. Complete nitrogen for your tires, so you get all the great benefits that nitrogen has to offer. And then a BG products package, which consists of a can of MOA or motor oil additive for your engine oil, and then CF5 for your fuel system. Again, just getting that vehicle geared up and ready to go for that next 5,000 miles of driving.
All right, 316-462-3673. Anyway, Josh, some exciting stuff so far on the sales side. We'll get to the service side stuff here. We got some 24 King Ranch and Platinums finally hitting the ground.
Yep.
And not sure what the little bit of delay was on those trucks or whatever. They told us it was a headlight issue. I guess I can kind of get that too, because that's an all new headlight and stuff in that truck. But boy, howdy, I don't know how they keep improving these trucks every year and making them bigger and not bigger, but better than what they were.
Yep.
But that Platinum, they went to three trim levels of the Platinum. You have a base, a mid, and then a high. And I don't know why they did that, because the high is just basically like what the Limited used to be.
Yep.
From that part. But I do love the color of these seats. I don't know if you caught that or not. The seats in the Limited used to be like a blue with a gray center section. And now they went to a kind of a, I don't know, call it a dark gray or whatever, that I think looks really good. On
almost like a two-tone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like a dark gray and a lighter gray almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, and I don't know, have you drove one of these 24s yet?
I have not been behind the wheel one yet.
Yeah, neither. So
I want to try it to 1 point. There's 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, and the new Blue Cruise. 1.2
Blue Cruise. You know, and that's actually was one of the things that I was going to ask this morning on the show is, what is something that, 20 years ago that you thought, being in the automotive industry, that you maybe thought would come that never showed up, but then also what is something that you thought would come that they do have on these vehicles now? And then out of all the options, like, what do you think is the most beneficial to consumers?
Safety-wise?
That's a lot of questions.
Wait, I know it's a lot of questions. Safety-wise, convenience-wise?
Well,
you know, I mean, saying? There's a lot of issues there too. Because
there are.
I would say to me right now, it's not even the Blue Cruise as much as everything that goes together with Blue Cruise, mm-hmm. from the lane centering, the heads up display that's in the trucks now, so you keep your eyes up on the road and everything from that part.
You know, anybody's got a problem with that?
No.
That has a sign made or anything about
eyes
up here?
No, that's just somebody trying to be smart and funny.
Gotcha.
But you know, the
so all the thing
Copilot that, 360 yeah, I guess is yeah. kind of my thing right now that I think's the most safety thing that keeps us safe on the roads, keeps us in the lanes, watches the cars around us, lets us know, you know, the blind sight monitor is all worked into that together, but all the sensors around the car are from that part. I mean, just like pulling into my garage, the camera pops on, lets you know I'm going to run in the boxes that's in front of my truck or whatever. And backing out, you know, if I'm going to run in the side of the garage, it's going to beep and let me know. And
it's like got a little I'm pretty sure I've told this story before. Uh-oh. On this. On
you ragged me out on something, Josh?
No. It has nothing to do with you. Totally about me. So the first pedestrian. So they've got a. Gosh, I don't even know. It's pedestrian, a collision avoidance type system on the truck. So the first time that I had to have been driving it for a little while, but the first time I was driving one of those, I went home one night and the driveway into the house is like kind of a U-shaped deal. Well, there's a basketball goal there and the boys were out in the drive playing basketball.
Okay.
Well, I pulled in the drive. I want to say, relatively fast. And I intended on just tapping one of the kids, just a love tap. I was monitoring. So this might not be the best story for parental guidance.
We're not going to turn the SRS today, Josh. Okay.
But I was going to tap one of the kids. Well, I pulled in the drive there. And the pedestrian assistance kicked in and it locked the brakes up and my head hit the steering wheel.
Man, paybacks are a bitch, aren't they?
The kids were perfectly fine. And then they were laughing their ass off at me.
That is
because I had.
Okay, we're blurry again. Dang it.
That was my fault. Here, let's do this.
Nope. I didn't do it, Josh. Do it again. So
it.
you're gonna get your exercises, your squats every day for this camera.
Sorry about the camera deal. But anyways, that was
so you hit the windshield.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, no, I hit the steering wheel.
Did it hurt? But
No.
Liar.
It was about as hard as I was planning on just kind of nudging them. But I did it kind of to scare them. But then I don't know. Talk about backfire, man. Straight up backfire. So it did. 100%
compromise. So it works.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
It did work. It 100% works. So
that's my thing. My thing is, I'm going to say Copilot 360, which wraps everything together with the adaptive cruise, the lane centering, the backup assist, all the stuff that goes into that, and the cameras that are around the car. Because that's really, to me, it's one package. You can't take, does cars have simple, some of those things just in their cars? Yeah. But I think when you put Copilot 360 together with all that's kind of my new and latest and greatest thing that I love from that part on the new vehicles.
Yeah. So one of the things that, that I think, there's so many features and functions on these vehicles now. And I think it varies by consumer, whoever ends up with that vehicle, as to whether they even really know all the features and functions and everything that they have on that car. But one of the things that I think of that is such a benefit to a consumer, and I think we're just really scratching the surface on it, is these connected modems. And what all that allows the consumer to do with the vehicle, but then also us as dealers to be able to assist customers with. And again, I don't even think we've even started in on where this will end up or go. And as we grow with this,
let's go a little deeper into that. So they understand, okay, someone doesn't know what we're talking about in a connected modem, what that does, but basically it's a computer on board that's wireless basically that connects to the internet, and we can dive into the car, but there's a lot more to it, because I've used that connected modems a ton to help customers that have broken down on the side of the road.
Well, I mean, you go everything from the Ford Pass portion of it. Okay. So where a consumer is able to, from their cell phone, be able to lock, unlock their vehicle, remote start it, look at tire pressure monitors, look at fuel, look at, mileage, location. Tracking the vehicle, on where it's at, just all sorts of information. If there is a check engine light or a low tire light or whatever, it'll send you notifications. I got an instance last night of a consumer that purchased a brand new 24 Explorer, and then we put catskin leather in it.
Okay.
Okay. And so this consumer dropped the vehicle off. And when they were installing the catskin leather, they had to pull seats. And so they had like the airbag harnesses disconnected, stuff like that on the seats. And it set a notification on the phone to the consumer about the airbags. Now, in that particular situation, we knew why it was on and what the deal was. But imagine if you were having an issue with an airbag or something like that as a consumer. And when they had it disconnected, because it was just a first time through fault, there was no there was no notifications on the dash of the car, anything like that. The only notification was really, you know, through the connected modem and all, and on the car. And also that went right to the owner, to let them know, you know, of that situation.
Yeah.
And so just the way of getting the information, the ability to get the information, is so beneficial to the consumer. Now I'll also go a little bit further in that, these vehicles and how they communicate and, how much information there is there, you know, I worry about it being maybe overboard on the amount of information that's put out there.
But, yeah.
You know, it's one thing that, we're just gonna, as we get into this and goes along, that we'll have to, you know, to make work the best for the consumer.
Well, my best story that I have on, and I've got several stories of customers, you know, driving and when he check engine light comes on or whatever, but I had a customer, he was driving in the heat of the summer in Texas, in his Super Duty, and he lost air conditioning. Just headed down, just going to somewhere down in Texas, one of the beaches or something. So it's the first day traveling, getting there, and guess what? No air conditioning. So we dove into it, got in the connected modem, found the code that was there, went back and researched it, got with one of our techs, and David's who it was, and he dove in and said, hey, I guarantee I know what's wrong with this truck. I just fixed one the other day just like it, and it was a connector had come loose on one of the sensors on the AC line. Mm-hmm. So I called the customer back, told him what it had. He found a Ford store, pulled in on the service drive, and sure enough, that connector had come loose. Popped the connector on, and guess what? AC's back, and they had a great vacation coming. Now, think about that if we didn't have that before. To help that, know what it was, help kind of pre-diagnose that, help that other shop or whatever.
Yep.
Time and effort. Of course, knowing my luck, a shop would have said, can't get to it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or something like that, too. But that's kind of the best one I've got. But again, I've got a lot of people, you know, had broke down or stranded or whatever. We can pull that code and help direct them to the right place, help them that sort of thing. Or even one thing, another is just tell them if it's safe to keep driving.
Well, and let's take this one step further even. And this is something that is out there right now. They're working, you know, and building on this. But as it is right now, with these connected modems in these vehicles, they're going through and doing predictive repair intelligence. And so basically it's AI information. And if they're going through and looking at your book of appointments, so a customer calls up and says, hey, I have a check engine light or I have this symptom. So they look through those appointments and then they looked at the connected modem data and seeing what the vehicle is reporting. And then they go back to the repair history of all the repairs that they've made on all those vehicles based on the information that's being reported. And if there is a commonality between that, they ship us a part for your vehicle. And so we get a part in that is the most likely cause of what's wrong with your vehicle. Now think of that from a consumer standpoint, in terms of length of time down for the vehicle to be down. Now, in our particular situation, it's not near as much of a benefit as it is a dealer that's, you know, in a smaller community, doesn't have a whole lot of resources, doesn't have a lot of parts inventory. You know, for us, for the most part, we're going to get it or we have it. But in those other particular situations, that could be extremely beneficial to a consumer, to be able to get their vehicle back and to have that experience of, you know, it's broke, now it's back fixed and back on the road. But I'm just thinking of all the logistics working in the background to get to that point, I think is huge.
You know, it is. And that's the thing they can see our inventory, know if we have the part that's failed or close to being failed. And it might not be the part that we need, but at least we're doing some proactive measures to get those parts and get things fixed for you from that part. But you're right. This is going to go a lot deeper than we think. And what's going to be bad is I remember when we came out with the connected modems in, I think it was 17.
Yeah.
And it was only on a select few cars. It wasn't on everything like it is today. So I think when we get into some of that, they'll do the same thing again. They'll take some of this more high tech modems and things like that into the cars, but they'll put it in just certain models, and it'll take a little bit for it to catch up with everything to every model like we have today with the connected modem in there, diagnosing that stuff too. But you as a consumer, the biggest thing for me with the connected modem is being able to communicate with your car. With Ford Pass, when you're not around it, you can track it, you can unlock it, check your gas, check your tires. You know, you get recall notifications coming through that too. So, you know, you got a recall on your car. There's so many things that Ford Pass does from that part. And I know the other thing I've had a couple of people say, I don't like being tracked. Well, they're not doing anything with the tracking. It's a way to help you communicate with your car. Cause I can't tell you how many times do I get in a demo. That's the first thing I do is I hook up Ford Pass and make sure it's hooked up and ready. So I can remote start it when I want to. I can unlock it if I need to. I can remember how much gas is in the thing. If I got enough gas to get where I need to go from that part. So there's so many things that go into that Ford Pass. It's And the next thing is you get all those points, for free.
So I don't, so let's hear from a consumer as far as, you know, is the connected modem, I mean, is that a violation of privacy?
No.
You know, I mean, I don't, I certainly don't think it is, especially in the number of benefits that, that it could be of assistance to you in a bad situation for sure. You know, the other thing that I can think of that, that we talked about.
I mean, let's go back to that privacy thing for a minute. Okay. You've got your own Ford Pass to dive into that. We can't unlock and lock your car with it.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you're protected with your phone for what can happen from that part. We can't unlock your car. We can't remote start your car, but we can get in to see the codes and see the stuff on it. We can monitor things, but we can't do anything with your car. So that's why I don't think the privacy is really an issue. Are they tracking you? No, they're not tracking you. They're doing that so you can be able to communicate with your car. And then if you do need help, that we can communicate with you, with your car, to help you diagnose. And I can't think of a better idea of what I would want to have happen. If I'm driving down the road and my check engine light comes on, I want to be able to know real quick, is it safe to drive? Is it not? Do I need to go somewhere? What do I need to do?
Well, then let's take it. I mean, we've got a caller coming in. We'll get him patched through. But then I've got, I guess, kind of another question then, you know, after that about information that's given out through that, through the Ford Pass. And then what Ford's also done with that information to, I think, better improve their vehicles as well. So we'll get, we've got Jason headed through or going to be through here with us here in just a little bit. So,
yep. So anyway, Delbert Ault is on his way picking up his second Bronco Sport today. So Delbert, see you here in a little bit. I hear you're supposed to be here around 9:30 or so. So we'll hopefully see you here after the show. Picking up his second Bronco Sport for his wife. I got to figure that out. I'm not sure. Is this one?
I think
is the first one. Yeah, well, is the first one for his wife? I think the first one was for him. I think
it was
second,
for him. She's been driving it. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Delbert.
So I don't know if he gets this one.
So yeah, who's getting the second one? I don't know.
So now he need. Now his is used, so he needs the new one.
Anyway, Jeremy Kane. Yeah, I figured you were pretty busy, but of course I was pretty busy too. The show went very well out in Dodge City last weekend racing Matt Part. So sorry I missed you there too. Now we got your another address, or maybe it's the same. I don't know. We'll get it mailed out to you this time. Anyway, Josh, I took that certificate out there, and we were running. Yeah, pretty, it took me forever to get to Dodge City. I mean, I'm not really sure why I was being very smart driving the Dodge City with that race rig as bad as that wind was last weekend. And it normally takes me about 2 hours and 20 minutes to get to Dodge City, and it was over 3 hours to get to Dodge City. People thought it was a smoke storm, a fire blowing, but no, it was just that much dirt blowing.
So we've got Good morning, Jason. You're on live with Under the Hood.
Josh, Joe, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Hey, question. So I have a 2015 Ford F-150. I just had the spark plugs done about 2 years ago. How often should I replace those?
So you said it's a 2015?
Yes.
And what engine do you have in there?
EcoBoost.
EcoBoost.
There you go. Yeah. You know, it really depends on driving, driving conditions. But we are seeing the EcoBoost plugs around the 60,000 mile mark, become, to where the gap in them is greater than really what it should be. And so it depends on how you drive, but typically around 60,000 miles on the EcoBoost engines is where we see plugs start to need to be replaced, which is honestly is quite a bit different than what they were years ago, or on a 5-liter engine. Those typically will go more around 100,000 miles.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay, so let's kind of tell, why does the EcoBoost need plugs at 60 instead of 100? Tell them what's going to happen there.
There's a couple of reasons. One, I believe it's from the heat, and that gap in that plug grows, but then also just the turbo portion of it with it not being naturally aspirated.
Yes, I mean, I know that's what it is. I was just trying to explain to our listeners why it would change more. And it's just the heat, and it's also the turbos. And again, it might be that you need replacement 40,000 pounds, doing with the truck.
Yeah, it really depends on driving, whether it's more highway, whether you're a heavier footed driver makes a difference as well. It just depends on, you know, the boost and the operation and that turbo for sure.
Well, and here's the next thing I'll tell you is I remember back in the day with my dad, we changed spark plugs at every 10,000 miles.
Yeah.
Points and plugs, condenser, we tuned them up at 10,000 miles. Now we're complaining about 60 versus 100. You know what I mean?
Back then you could do a lot of things, and what you can do now, the way these cars are made anymore, so technically computerized, it's ridiculous.
So how many miles did you have on that truck?
It's got 131 right now.
Yeah, and that was your...
I wouldn't have had it then.
That was your first time of putting them in?
Yes, that I've had the truck, yes.
And what... did you have them replaced because of a misfire? Or was
because
it just...
records show it's never been done, so that's why... That's one of the reasons why I did it, because I recommended it. So.
Sure. Did you notice any performance difference afterwards?
Oh yeah. A lot more get up and go, especially when you got this turbo on here.
Yeah. The other thing is where those plugs will typically fail is under higher load, and higher RPM is typically where you notice it. And a lot of people don't. I guess you don't really get into that power range very often, and so as a consumer you may have a bad plug or something like that, but you don't even notice it because you don't drive in that power range until you go to pass somebody one time or something along those lines, you know.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the information, guys, and if Dale's listening, I'll take a Ford Bronco if he's buying.
Okay. Dale, would you hear that? I think he is listening, so we'll see.
Yeah. I know Dale a long time, so you know he can help a brother out.
So before you get off here, Jason, what do you think about the connected modems, or like us being able to see data from a computer system off of your vehicle, you know, without even having the vehicle here?
You mean possibly issues going on with it and stuff?
Yeah, so tire pressures, oil life.
I think that's awesome.
Mileage, fuel range, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Because that could prevent you from having troubles down the road.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, very good.
I'm all for it.
Well, good deal. Well, hey, Jason.
All right, guys. You guys have a good weekend. I appreciate it. So.
Yep.
You bet, buddy. You too.
Thank you for the call.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye. Anyway, let's talk another little tip. JR comes in with says poor coil boot design, increased cylinder pressure, which requires more voltage to jump the gap. Well, yeah, I get that, but you know, back in the day, we had just a few little amps and bolts going through these needles. Now we got 40, 50, 60, 80,000 volts running through these ignition systems that we didn't have years ago from that part. And as far as poor boot design, I don't know. Are we talking about on the 11s? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And again, that comes down to heat. It really does. It comes down to heat and around that boot, and then just deterioration after time. And, you know, I get into that, I guess, a lot or all the time, is that what's the life of a part? you know, until it breaks.
Right? I mean, that's where I was going after.
It doesn't work anymore.
Back in the 70s and 80s, or in the 70s at least, we were putting plugs in every 10,000 miles. Now we're complaining about putting them in at 60. And that's the thing is the quality, the life expectancy of cars and stuff has changed so much and improved so much that we're so dependent on now. It's supposed to run forever and never break.
Well, I think the a lot of it is, you know, I think a lot of it is maybe the expense of the vehicle initially, but then also they're so much more reliable than what they were. You know, I guess if
I've said it many times. I mean, my dad used to carry a toolbox,
yeah,
and stuff, everything, jumper cables, coolant, water, oil, everything. So if we broke down the side of the road, we could fix ourselves. Now today, we don't even bat an eye at running 5,000 miles, even popping the hood. We need to go to Kansas City. Boom, jump, go. Yeah. Shoot, before we'd spend an hour getting the car ready, just mechanically wise, before we jumped in the car to go to Kansas City from that part. So that's what's crazy about how much more dependable these cars have come. But we've also made them, we've been more making ourselves demand that from that part. But we got to remember it's a mechanical piece of equipment.
It's
going to break. It's going to wear. It's going to happen.
Got into a situation the other day about a, you know, an extended extended service interval on a vehicle, and the extended service interval went to 150,000. So they were warrantying the part to 150,000. This vehicle happened to have 180,000 miles on it, and the consumer still thought that
to be covered.
That it should be covered. And, you know, I guess I get it in the fact that they acknowledge that there was an issue with that part and they were having the issue that the part had, but also like that thing went
180,000
miles. Okay. Like I don't.
So I got an addition to deal with that with a recall on one, a special policy. It wasn't a recall. It was an upgraded deal that Ford put out there on the brake boosters. Mm-hmm. That doesn't cover the whole brake system because they have a brake booster issue. It's just for the booster that they saw some issues. So they put an extended warranty. It's not a recall. They didn't recall the cars, or NHTSA didn't tell them they had to recall the cars because the cars went so long before that. But, you know, the manufacturers can't, and we can't, warranty these things for life. There's no one. There's no manufacturer that warranties these things for life. Can't happen. It's a mechanical piece of equipment. It's going to break. It's going to happen. Dielectric grease. Yeah, it's exactly right. When you put those boots back on, you put a little dielectric grease on that boot. That'll help maintain that boot and everything else too. Get that too. Good call there, Vincent, from that part. So, hey, 316-462-3673. You want to talk about new technology, new things you love about your new car or whatever, something you just couldn't live without? We're here to answer those questions. Not answer those questions. We'll hear what you got.
Yeah. So going back to this AI and the Ford Pass, and I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the things that they use it for is what a consumer's use their vehicle for. Okay. And so like on the new vehicles, I don't know if you noticed, but the parallel park system is no longer present on vehicles. They found out that no consumers were using it. And so they removed it.
Josh, you got to do your squats again.
What must have been.
Okay. Well, now hold on, Josh, which you got to realize what happened there. Okay. They took that out to save chips.
Yeah.
And to build more cars. But I think that's coming back. Kind of is the same issue came back as heated seats and heated steering wheels and that sort of thing they took out. But I think that's what happened and what we're seeing. But again, I don't know how many people parallel park to use that parallel park. That is a cool option.
So what I will tell you,
have you done it?
I've done it a lot.
Yeah.
But where I've done it at is anytime I go to a school and do demos with vehicles. For whatever reason, I think it's very showy. You know what I'm saying? Like the students, for it to be able to park itself, they really enjoy watching that feature or function go. Now, for me personally to use it, I think it's a lot like the backup or Trailer Pro with backing up a trailer. It's like I can parallel park the vehicle faster than. The system can do it itself, or I could back a trailer.
Well, I think I get the trailer part backup side of that thing, but so many consumers, I think, struggle to parallel park.
Would agree.
Why? Because we don't do it very often. If you think about it, there's really not a lot of parallel parking anymore. Years ago, I think there was a lot.
Yeah.
But again, I think the parallel park deal helped us grow into the technology we have today with Copilot 360 and adaptive cruise using the sensors and the cameras and all that kind of stuff too.
It was a kind of a proof of concept, I guess. You know, we can make it do this, and then now let's add more to it and see what else we can do with it for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, 316-462-3673. Love to hear what technology you love in your car and what feature you like the best. If you call in, hey, you get a great price package, about over $130. Morning, Jim Petty. How you doing, buddy? Anyway, Jeremy, we'll get that certificate mailed out to you. Have we got everything else kind of handled? I think we got everything else handled in the chat line. Delbert's going to be here in a little bit to pick up his second Bronco Sports. We'll see him after a bit. And we got a phone call coming through.
Do we?
We do.
Okay. I'll get them patched through. So wonder what Jeremy has going on. So this new this new Platinum truck out here, have you I've not even looked at the sticker price on it yet. Was the window sticker still in this thing?
It's not in it because it's sold. Oh, we gotcha. Pull them out and put them in there.
And this is the third trim level, the highest. This is similar to the Limited.
This is exactly a Limited for 24, which what it was as a 23. Yeah.
Yep.
Truck's $86,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I figured it'd be more, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I hear you.
Yeah.
The guy that's buying it doesn't think so.
Doesn't think so. Yep, I understand that. Well, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Jeremy. Jeremy, you're on live with Under the Hood.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Good. You?
Good. It's nice outside today.
Yes.
Hey, I have a couple of questions regarding trucks. I guess my first question is on the Maverick. I've been looking around, doing a little research on it, but unless I'm just missing it, is a Maverick, is it built like a regular, like F-150 body on frame, or is it a unibody like a car? And then my second question is why is it, and I don't know if you guys know the answer or not, but it seemed like over like the last 10 years or so, because I drove a Ranger a long time ago, and the height of the beds of these trucks, why are they so tall? You can't just, like, you know, with the old school Rangers, you know, it was easy to pick stuff up and put it over the sides into the bed, no problem. But it's like now, you can't do stuff like that. Do you guys know those answers or no?
I got about every answer for you here, I think, here, Jeremy. Yeah. First of all, the Maverick, the Maverick is a unibody construction truck. Okay. It's made on the same platform as the Bronco Sport, an Escape basically is what it's built on. But now being on a unibody construction, the cab size is bigger than the 23 Ranger, okay, inside of it.
Oh, it is.
Because a unibody versus on-frame truck. Now the 24 Ranger, they've made it bigger. Not a lot, but a little bit bigger in the cab and bed and everything else too from the 23 model year. So I don't know if the 24 Ranger is now the same as a Maverick or whatever, or close, or if it's bigger than a Maverick. I don't know. I don't have that stat in my head, but I do know that the 23, the Maverick is bigger cab size inside of it than the 23 Ranger. I need to get my stats together on the 24. But now the Maverick it's been a hot demand truck. We're finally got trucks in stock for that. Since 3 years we've been making that truck. But I will tell you, the most popular truck is the XLT front wheel drive hybrid, because that thing will get, and I'm not kidding you, it gets 40 miles to the gallon. I got a guy the other day come in here and said he was getting 46. And I said, I don't believe it. Went out, looked at his trip odometer. Sure enough, he's getting 46.2 miles to the gallon with that truck. But again, it's how you drive and what you do. Now, they've got a 2-liter hybrid EcoBoost motor. It's in the high 20s that it gets running around with that part, which is still great fuel mileage for that part too. But there's a lot of options in the Maverick. There's an XL, XLT Lariat, and then there's all wheel drive. And then there's tow packages. There's a lot of stuff depending on what you want to do with that Maverick for that part too. But again, the Ranger, like I said, they did take and redesign the Ranger, because basically the Ranger we had come over from, I believe, Australia, and they just made it, you know, compatible with the United States and stuff. So finally they redesigned the Maverick here in the United States and made it a little bit bigger. a little bit bigger inside. And it's not a lot bigger, but it is bigger. And I've got some 23 sitting out here that our fleet department is getting ready to deliver. And then I got a 24 sitting beside it. And there is quite a bit of difference in the trucks. Why are they making the beds so tall? Only thing I can tell you is the consumer wants to haul more stuff and put more stuff in these trucks is what's going on with that. And they can haul more than they used to from that part, especially with our aluminum bodies and stuff like that. That takes our payload and really increases our payload, not having steel, heavy steel on there, and you can be able to put more stuff in those trucks.
Well, I think some of the height of it has to do with, I mean, wheel size too. Look at what we were putting on vehicles years ago. It was 15, 16, like 17s. Yeah. And we're up to, I mean, if you don't have 20s, pretty much everything almost comes with 20s anymore. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And I would say too, the number of, I don't know, maybe you can agree or disagree on this, but the number of two-wheel drive pickups that were available years ago versus now, I mean, I think everything's pretty well a four-wheel drive for the most part.
I would say 95% of what we get in is four-wheel drive and 5% is two-wheel drive. And you know, if you really think about our weather around here and stuff like that, can you get it with a two-wheel drive? Yeah. Pretty much most of the time and that sort of thing too. You know, two-wheel drive is going to give you better fuel economy, everything else from that part. But again, resale value, you'll always get your money back out of a four-wheel drive versus a two-wheel drive. No, what you spend on it new from that part too. It's kind of like I got in a conversation with a guy the other day about extended cabs. I'm just surprised it's still around, to be honest with you, because the crew cabs and is so much better and everything else too. But I don't think we have an extended cab new one on the lot right now.
Yeah.
From that part.
Yeah,
so.
I like the crew cabs, but it's just, you would think, you know, the automakers would still, you would think that there's an audience out here that would still like the old school where it didn't matter if it was a Ford Ranger or like, you know, the GM products, the old S10s or whatever the GMC was. I mean, the height, you know, of those beds and just the trucks in general, they were a lot, they weren't so tall in stature. They were so short, but I understand what Josh is talking about. When you throw in bigger wheel size and then four wheel drive, I mean, I understand it increases the height, but it'd be nice if the automakers, you know, of course, I'm loyal to Ford, if they would have something like it. But I guess that's what the Maverick is, and that's some of why I'm calling here and talking about.
Well, we did see a truck. What was that last year? And I have not seen one in the dealerships yet, but the Lobo that they were advertising, it was almost like a lowered F-150 a little bit.
Yeah, it is. It's a Lobo. It's a crew cab. It's a 5.0 dual exhaust kind of a thing. And it's basically it's between the STX package and the XLT. It's right in the middle there, from that part. I don't know when they showed that to us, Josh, if that's supposed to be a 24. Yeah. That's what I'm waiting on. I think it's going to be a 24 is why we didn't see anything in 23 on that. But that Lobo is another thing they've done to lower the truck down.
Okay, interesting. Hey, and then Josh brought something up that makes me want to ask, you know, about wheel sizes. You know, how before they used to be, you know, 15, 16, and 17. And like now they're all these big 20s and whatever they are now. I mean, why do you think that these automakers go to these bigger wheels? Is it just because because it looks, because it seems like, maybe it's just me, but you know, with the smaller wheel sizes, of course, you know, that you get more tread sidewall width, but it seemed like the vehicles rode better with a smaller wheel, or is that just all in my head?
No, I agree with you, but here's what I'm going to tell you why is because after these cars started being built, customers went out and took the 16s and put 18s on. I mean, I remember when 18 was, oh, wow, you got an 18. You're cool and everything else like that. It's just kept creeping up and creeping up from that part. And the manufacturers are just trying to say, hey, if you're going to put wheels and tires on it, we're going to sell them to you instead of doing that part. But I think it's a supply and demand that our consumers have went to the 20-inch. I mean, now if you got a 20, big deal. It's not even a real hot thing anymore. Yeah. I mean, now the drill trick thing, if you got a 22 on your car or whatever from that
24
part. But I'm with you. The sidewall goes away. And I do think it changes the ride, but I do think the manufacturers have tried to do a better job of changing the spring rates and shocks and things like that to adjust for those shorter sidewalls and stuff too. But
you have to think about it from a safety issue too, right? So if you have a real tall sidewall and you're moving that tire back and forth and that sidewall is flexing, as a manufacturer, like, you can't control that. But if you have a smaller sidewall, and you give the vehicle more suspension, And that tire is stiffer than, you know, it's for handling and performance and stuff like that.
Well, let's back up way back to, would that be 2005, 6, 7, somewhere in there where the Explorer was having all the issues with the tires.
Yep.
And Jeremy, was really the true thing that was happening there is back then, and we're on 15s and 16 inch tires. I don't know exactly what size that was, uh-huh. whatever, but you have a temperature rating of an A, B, and C. And of course, uh-huh. C being the least adaptive to heat. So if you take a tire that's normally running in the road, say 125 degrees, and you let 5 pounds of air out of that tire, it's going to jump to, you know, about 150 degrees running on a hot day down the road, just because it, you know, it can't dissipate the heat out of that tire. And that's what was happening to those Explorers. They were putting C rated temperature tires on those Explorers. Customers would get a little bit of low air pressure, or let it get really low. And then the tire would give away. It didn't blow out, but the sidewall just gave away because it couldn't handle the heat and couldn't handle the pressure being put on that sidewall. Then customers overreacted with it and rolled. So that's also why some of this technology has changed and what they've went to, because that was a huge, huge, huge lawsuit between Firestone and Ford. And it was a long time before Ford would even sell a Firestone tire again. I mean, it was probably 15 years.
Yeah, I would guess at least.
Before Ford would even put a Firestone tire on their car. Ford is pointing at Firestone. Firestone's pointing at Ford. But really, whoever decided to put that C temperature rated tire on that Explorer, is, to me, it was my opinion. Again, opinions, you like what? We all got one. But that's what I remember in that investigation, is that C rated temperature tires on those cars that let it down 10 pounds. And that's what was happening. And boom, where you'd go. So that's another thing that rolls into it. But I understand what you're saying. But I still think that the 20s and the 22s has all just been a customer demand that the manufacturer's seen. I mean, it's just like accessories going out. Now the Ford, you know, is putting so many trucks come standard now with running boards.
Or Nerf bars.
Mm-hmm. Spread bed liners. You know, all that kind of stuff, too, from that part. That accessories are now kind of a free-flowing option that you can add to these trucks from that part. So. And now we have so many what we call dealer installed options. We had that happen yesterday. I ordered some mud guards, and we accidentally didn't get them installed during the PDI. We had to run a truck back in and put the mud guards on. So I think that's all that is, Jeremy. Customer demand has made the manufacturers say, hey, if you're going to put 20s on it, we're going to sell them to you, is what I think.
Oh, yeah, because they'd rather have the profit than the secondary business owner to do the secondary.
Yeah.
Buy your wheels and running boards here, so they – Ford wants to keep the profit. I get it. Or any car manufacturer.
What I will say on that side of it too is there's so many times that I get involved in a customer that has a issue or complaint about something, and you go back and look at what's going on, and they've installed an aftermarket accessory, or somebody's put an aftermarket accessory on it. And I can't tell you how many times that I've got involved in a draw or a squeak or a rattle or something like that. And it's came from, have an aftermarket accessory on. I can think of years ago, Chevrolet had their windshield moldings that were up by the A-pillar on each side of the windshield, and customers would put a bug shield on their vehicle.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it would deflect the air different, and it would make those moldings rattle. Now, is that the molding's fault, or is it, you know what I'm saying? It was mm-hmm. it was an aftermarket yeah. bug shield. It wasn't designed to fit that vehicle or go on that vehicle, and it would just move the air just right and then make those weather strips or moldings rattle like crazy. And so I think also when the consumer when the manufacturer controls those things, it just helps the overall owner experience better for the consumer.
Uh-huh. Well, the next thing is the aftermarket world doesn't have to go through crash test ratings and all that kind of stuff that a manufacturer has to go through before they put something on your car. So I think that's another huge factor there that, buying original equipment, I shouldn't say original equipment, but manufacturer accessories, if you can, because you know they've met the requirements when that car was new and met the crash test when the car was new from that part too.
Uh-huh. Oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering those questions this morning. I appreciate it.
No,
enjoy your show this morning.
Jeremy, great questions, buddy. Really appreciate it. There's great questions. Love it.
All right. Well, have a good weekend, guys.
You too. Anyway, just got a few minutes left on the show. And hey, I just missed a chat line over here. It says, do you ever use the E3 plugs? And if not, why? And do you not like or use them? Well, here's why. I'll tell you, if that E3 spark plug was a thing, the manufacturers would have already adapted to it. But what you got to remember about those E3 spark plugs is it's only going to have one spark, And that spark's going to go to the least passive resistance. That E3 spark is not giving you three sparks. I love those commercials. Look at this spark plug. It's got a better spark now and everything else. Like, do you not realize a spark plug does not produce the spark? It just takes the spark and jumps it across the and lets the electricity go across.
Grounds it out.
Spark plug has nothing to do with how hot that spark is, how quick it does, or whatever. That's not the spark plug. That's the coil and the power to put behind that coil to make that work. But that E3 spark plug, that's what do I call that? I call it a gimmick. It just doesn't.
Well, and so many, again, going back to the example of the bug shield and, an aftermarket bug shield on the factory design, vehicle is that it's, if there was a fuel efficiency benefit, if there was a power benefit to having that product in there, like for numbers factors, they would have done it. These CAFE ratings are so tight on these vehicles. I mean, the manufacturers are looking for every little thing. And if they could have got better fuel economy out of this thing by putting a different plug in it, I assure you
they'd have done it.
You're talking about putting, I can't tell you probably how many hundreds of dollars in like undershields there are on vehicles for proper wind flow over it.
How about the front air reflector on an F-150 raises up and down and goes down?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They got a air dam that is electronically controlled, raises up and down and is controlled by a computer with vehicle speed and stuff like that. I mean, to get better fuel efficiency, if they could have done it in a $2 or $3 more spark plug.
I promise you they didn't die.
No brainer. It'd have been in there.
It's no different than a cold air intake.
Yeah.
And if you want to put a cold air intake, I get it, but that's not all you can, that's not going to get you any more performance because the car can't breathe getting out.
Yeah.
It's got to come in. If it's going to come in faster, it's got to go out faster.
And then you got to have a tune to
and
then you got to
have a tune to do and everything else too. And the best example I can give of that is on my GT500, it was a big deal out there in the forums and everything about taking the air cleaner lid off of it. And so, 20 more horsepower out of it and all this kind of stuff. And Jake was all over me about it. So we took my car over to BG to put it on there and put it on the dyno to see what it would really turn and stuff. And then we ran it a couple times and I said, no, let's take this air cleaner off, lid off. And so we did. We stopped, took it off. It was 2 horsepower difference. So it ain't nothing. That's going to be truthful to that part. That's just so many things that the manufacturers have to hit these CAFE ratings. They're doing everything they can to hit that number. And like you said, if there's a $3 something that can do that can get them better fuel economy, they're going to do it.
I remember as a technician over at the Chevrolet store, this was years ago, but this guy had I'm pretty sure it was a Chevrolet pickup. And it had the old round air cleaner in the front of it. And he had a log of, distance he drove and fuel economy that he got from point to point and mileage. And I mean, it was calculated out to the 10th. It looked like a handwritten Excel spreadsheet. I couldn't believe all the data that was in this thing. But it was, a documented, hey, I drove from, say, Wichita, Kansas to Oak City with the air with the air filter lid turned upside down, and then I went from Oklahoma City to Tulsa and didn't have the air filter in it at all, and just doing different things that he was documenting and documenting this fuel economy on it, trying to get the best fuel economy out of it. And I'm thinking, man, there are so many other variables that go into that. What's the quality of gas that you got? What was the wind? What was the were you climbing a grade? Were you descending a grade? Stuff like that. And I mean, you had it all calculated out to the 10th. I couldn't believe the amount of research that went into this deal. But just thinking of all the other variables that went into that as well. And, in that list was at the time, I don't even remember the name of the spark plugs, but it was a V ground strap on them.
A champion?
No. I'd know it but anyways, it irregardless, that was a big thing then that was these Splitfire.
Oh, Splitfire, yeah. Okay, Splitfires, yeah. Plug, okay.
And
yeah.
That was the big thing then. And again, in his logbook, didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Didn't make a difference. But again, I don't know what the variables were that went into it or anything like that.
Okay, so remember, this is another story I got. We got a few minutes here. It was when Chevrolet came out with their multi-displacement cylinders going, you know, from 8 cylinders to 6 yep. to 4 and all yep. that kind of thing. And one time I remember me and David Cox, we got in our two Tahoes and went to Colorado. I mean, went to New Mexico to go skiing, mm-hmm. loaded down, same, you know, 4 foot 4 in each car, loaded down, ready to go. And he had one that didn't have the multi-displacement. I had the one with multiple displacement. And I'm going to tell you, this is no joke. Every time we filled up, we were within a tenth of a gallon of each other.
Really?
It was crazy because we wanted to see
yeah.
if that made a difference. Now, the only thing I would say back to that dissipating those cylinders, does it help emissions or does it not or whatever from that part two coming out that tailpipe is the only thing I can figure out maybe. But the fuel economy was in with a tenth of each other running down the highway and doing all that kind of stuff. So did it help? I don't know.
Well, and then highway speeds too and load, you know, versus if you were doing a bunch of in-town driving or something along those lines. But
yep.
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's about time to Gus has got the calling rolling across there again. Got a few minutes left here, but I think we need to thank all our people that help us get this show off the road, yep. on down the road and everything else too, from that part. But of course, Big Corner Creative for all your advertising needs. Hey, anything you need for your company, your personal, if you need a web page design, you need a vehicle wrapped, you need a windows wrapped, a windows tinted even, race car wraps, whatever it is at Big Corner Creative right down the street here, as Jesse says, just Google us. BG Products, excited for the new partnership we have with BG with Salt City Racing. That's going to be fun over there in Hutch. Also, but again, the great partnership we have here at Mel Hamilton Ford with BG Products. You know, those products are just a best way to keep your car running many, many more miles. And of course, GoToRent. Hey, we finally, Josh, I'm finally getting new cars that I've ordered in for Stan over there.
For the fleet over there.
Finally, 4 years later, though, I'm finally getting some new vehicles. We've been running used and rotating them out and everything else like that. We've finally got a few new ones coming. Got a bunch more orders in there and stuff too. So finally getting some new vans over there too. Got about 10 new vans yep. over there for him. So excited for that. So if you're looking for a 12 or 15 passenger van or anything to rent, you don't want to put the miles in your car, give Stan a call right inside here at GoToRent. Everybody have a great Saturday. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And tune in 6 o'clock Wednesday for an update on Salt City Racing. And also next Saturday, 9 o'clock. Everybody have a great Saturday.